Well, it's great to be with you. We feel right at home. I love a wiggling, squiggling church. That's just awesome. Our friends kind of moved on and we kept having babies. So we got some teenagers and we got some wigglers and sometimes we go to church. We're always the ones causing the scene. So y'all just let the scenes happen here and let's worship the Lord together. But I just want to bless y'all. God has impacted our lives collectively, I think, in many communities with the passing of loved ones. There's passing here in this community and Brother Earl passing away and families touched, and last Sunday morning I had the privilege of having breakfast with Ben and Alicia, and they hosted us myself and some others very well, and was at a very touching service last Sunday morning as a young man, Sunday afternoon, had passed away who had been at the camp, and camp's been going for about 34 years, and it's like young men come and serve and young people come serve. You sometimes realize how precious young people are. Young people, you're just a gift from God, and children. It says like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. And to see a young man give his life. And give his all. And there was a picture I saw as I traveled up. I went with Michael Ebb's co-chief, who was out on the river trip with him when he got sick. And he was sicker the last 2 days that he was out there than I think what a lot of people knew and what he let on. And he was there and the last 2 days were kind of a struggle for him. And as he got to the end of that journey, they were coming to pick him up to get him checked out because they weren't sure what was happening with him. And he was experiencing a lot of difficulty. And so as the supervisors were coming to pick him up, they had camped out and he had spent the day doing some resting and just trying to do what he could. But that evening, he needed to go about a half mile to a boat ramp to be picked up to go to the hospital. And, he decided that he would go alone so that the other chief could take care of the boys that were left there. And, he took that last half mile in the canoe by himself. When he got to the boat ramp, he was pretty wore out, almost delirious. And I got a picture of what this life should be like for all of us. We ought to give our all and just enough strength to cross that river by ourselves, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to go alone that last mile, but Jesus will be there to meet us when we get there. And he's going to take us home. And he took a sister home here, and I did not know her, but I was blessed to hear his testimony this morning even of her life. And the Lord is just, through that whole experience, really moved in my life. We'd been involved with the camp for many years. God, several years ago, began to prompt us to continue to develop folks and help folks, maybe find someone to take our place. And we kind of had a passion for seeing continued growth in ministry. But the Lord's kind of said, I want you to slow down and just take a deep breath. And, sometimes it's easier to go, go, go than to just stop and wait on the Lord. But it's been such a blessing to just realize time with our family and just coming here this morning. I've just been touched by the children and by this group, so bless you all. If you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. I have some things I want to share with you this morning. that God's laid on my heart over the last couple weeks. I'm going to read the first 20 verses in Luke chapter 10. It says, "After these things, the Lord anointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out in the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if thy mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted in heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despises me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in the book of life. Powerful scripture there. As Jesus prepared his disciples, the 12 had been out, chosen, and there were 70 surrounding him there that he sent forth. And I found it ironic that he, very early in his ministry, took 70 people and sent them out. The tradition in the Jewish culture at that time, if you were going to be a scholar or a teacher, you worked a long time. Scribes could not be official scribes till they were 40. Most of the other occupations stuff had people had to be 30 years old. They had to have years and years of training. Most of the training started when young people were 14 years old, and there was extensive training. And there was, in those days, they had only certain groups could learn what the scribes had to say. Some things could only be revealed among two or three people. And here Jesus starts his ministry, gathers people together, and gives them power, and immediately sends them out. And it's like, you know, what a picture. I don't know how you feel sometimes, but maybe sometimes you feel like, well, I'm not qualified enough for the Lord to use me, or I need to get here, or man, I should have this, or I should have that, and maybe once I'm at this stage, God can use me. But here God takes Christ, and Christ comes, and he immediately takes 70 people and he prepares them and sends them out two by two. You know, one of the things that you will find, and I know that as young families, especially, and as a church, we need each other. How many of you were thankful for each other going through a funeral this week? How many people were thankful for others? I mean, it just, you look around and you realize at times like this, we need each other. We need people. And I was made so aware of that last week too as I attended the funeral of a young man. You know, we need each other. And Jesus chose to send his disciples out two by two. And one of the sad things, whether it's in churches or ministry or wherever it's at, one of the biggest difficulty that ministry and missions folks face on the mission field is not the people they go serve, but the people they go serve with. Many, many times it is the blending of different backgrounds and different personalities and different cultures coming to work together on the mission field that the devil uses against us. And it takes a lot of working together. Oftentimes the people, and I don't know how Jesus did this, if he let the 70 say, well, I want to go with this guy, I get along better with her, and I think I could work with her better than I can with her, or he, I can let him go with this guy. I don't know how Jesus did that, but very likely they got sent out with someone that had a little bit different outlook in life than they did. But, you know, at a time when you get, sometimes those things seem so important, but when you see someone laying there at the end of their life, those little things that held you up become pretty minute. And I think that's what Jesus wants us to realize, is that it's not about this life. Psalm 1 says, you know, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. You know, our children have been learning that in school, at home. And the neat thing that, as I've thought about that, is can I meditate in God's Word day and night? You think about where your mind goes throughout the day. Try spending a day with your mind in the Word of God all day long. I last about 3 minutes, and then my mind's going over here. I realize reading that verse, and the next verse says, you know, he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth its fruit in its season, his leaf doesn't wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Are you struggling along? What are you putting your hands to? Struggling? God led me to a young man in Seneca this week, and as I was, and I was so amazed at how God works, at how he. I needed something at Lowe's, and I'd been working, and I got to the middle of the morning. I don't know what happened, if I got ADHD and I was finished and I needed a break or something, but all of a sudden I felt like I got to go to Lowe's, like right now, and I got my stuff together and headed over there and got my materials, and I was ready to head back, and coming through the parking lot comes a group of young people up out of the woods. And a young man comes over, and he says, you need some help loading. And I was like, well, I didn't really need help. But he said, well, I'm looking for some work. And so I said, well, why don't you help me load here? And here was a young kid, 21 years old, from New York, moved down. His mother passed away from lupus, and he was homeless. And he had been camping out in the woods on the backside of the Lowe's. And, you know, what blessed me so tremendously was the fact that I didn't really control when I went to Lowe's. I kind of followed my urge. You know, and God used that time. I could have been there any other time of the day, but right at the moment I was loading my vehicle, these folks come walking through the parking lot. And I know sometimes as families and as young families, you know, we feel like, well, God sends these people out. They do great things for the Lord, but I'm here. I'm busy at home. I got my children. There's nothing I can do. You are doing tremendous work. You're doing tremendous work. Do not be unfaithful in the tremendous work that God has called you to. And the fact is that when you are faithful to God's work that He's called you to, He will bring people into your path that He wants ministered to. And if you are not faithful into what He has called you to do, you will miss those people. And a lot of times, and I know a lot of times, and that's something God is doing in my life right now, you know, having been involved kind of in organized ministry for many years, just really seeking Him as, where does He want me to touch lives? And how does He want me? And I had no plans of connecting with this young man, but had a neat opportunity to really connect with the young man there and just pray for him and tell him that verse. You know, I know you may be struggling, but have you thought about the fact that it says if you meditate in His Word day and night, you will prosper? So that's the place to start. I don't have, like, you know, when Peter and John came up to the temple, they didn't apologize. They didn't have money. They just said, what I got, I'll give you. You know, I didn't have much money I could give him. But what can I give him? So God is willing to use us if we're available. I was really blessed by the fact that He does put us in the place He wants us. Many times in verse 2 there it says, the harvest truly is great. And I don't know if you've looked around your community and felt like things are going downhill. How many of you have looked around the world and said, things are going downhill? Anybody ever had that feeling? You know, it is really easy to get discouraged and feel like we're going to go in survival mode. And we're just going to survive out till Jesus comes. And if we get into heaven, hallelujah. And I'm very thankful for that, because Jesus says at the end of this chapter, He says, rejoice more that your names are in the book of heaven. But I do believe that He will give power today. And I'm so blessed with young families having children, because there are so many people out there saying today, you know, it's a fearful time. We can't have, what are our children going to face? What are they going to face? And we don't know. But in Isaiah chapter 51, and I want to read that to us today. I want you to just listen to these words. In Isaiah chapter 51, it says, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, and my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arms shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke. The earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. That's Isaiah 51, verse 4 through 8. The powerfulness in those verses for me in my life has been the fact that, you know, when I came to Christ, His Spirit moved in my life. I could not come to Christ on my own, but His Spirit, whether it was because of my grandmother's prayers, my parents' prayers or whatever, but God's Spirit moved in my life and I came to the Lord. The generation that is growing up today in this time, in this age, will have the Spirit of God available to them, moving in them the same way He's moved in those of us who have already come to know Christ. And I am so thankful for that. And in that, we can rest. We can rest in that with our families. And here, you know, when when Jesus sent out those 70, he gave them that power. He told them to heal the sick. You know, go forth as lambs among wolves. Ever had that job title? Go be a sheep in the wolf pack. I don't know what you picture there, but, you know, he gives us jobs that are impossible. We're not able to do them on our own strength. And he sends us out. And it looks mighty, mighty big to us. But I'll tell you, he's there with us. He's our shepherd. And one of the things that I saw, a new picture of Christ, was the fact that, you know, as a sheep among wolves, the wolves have teeth. And the wolves are going to hurt you. And I guess one of the things that I had to repent of last week as I was traveling to that funeral was the fact that there are times in my life when I have been living for Christ, or I thought I was, and given my heart to something, and my heart was hurt by something that happened. And I don't know if you've been there where you've given your heart and you've given everything you can, and that process, you've gotten hurt. Maybe you put your effort out there, maybe you were given everything you could, and somehow it might not have been good enough, or somebody wanted it like this. And what's the natural tendency to do after that? It's to draw in, protect, and well, I'll never do that again. You know, I volunteered this time, but they weren't happy with it. I'm not going to do that again. If it wasn't good enough, I won't do it again. You know, we experience those kind of things. We experience those kind of feelings. We go through those kind of things. But Jesus said, go forward as a lamb to the wolves. They're going to chew on you. And it's going to hurt sometimes. And I saw a picture so many times. You know, I used to think, well, Jesus also talked about, you know, beware of the false prophet, because they're going to come in sheep's clothing, but inside they're ravenous wolves. And I thought, well, you know, those are kind of wild people. I don't want to get involved around those people. But the Lord showed me a picture. You know who those false prophets can be? They can be you and I. When we get tired of being that lamb among the wolves, we still want to live like the sheep, but we want teeth so we can fight back. And I saw a picture of myself when I don't want to go out there and give of myself. And I don't want to be hurt anymore. I want to be able to hurt back. And those are very natural things that happen inside of that. We have to repent and give to the Lord and let Him take care of us. And here He sends them out like that. He says, that's what you're going to face. It's not a surprise. This is not a surprise what you're going to go through. Go out there and do it. You know, something that can happen when we're in the work of the Lord. And the first thing that I notice here is He says, the harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. And we talked about it a few minutes ago. We feel like so much is going on and there's so many people need it. What are we going to do? And I used to get caught up in that frenzy and just, you know, it would boil up inside. And the first thing I want to do is I want to stop that verse right there and say, the labors are few. We got to get going. We got to do something for the Lord. But Jesus' words, the very next words in that scripture are this: pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into His harvest. It's His harvest. And I heard a testimony of a young man who had done wheat harvest and talking about this verse. And it really impacted me. I never thought about it at this level. But he said, you know, when he was doing wheat harvest out west, the farmers might have had thousands of acres. But when that wheat was ready, if they couldn't harvest it themselves, they took responsibility and got the wheat harvest crews in there. They were going to harvest their wheat at the time their wheat was ready. And you know, that was such a picture of the Father. His harvest is out there. He's going to bring that harvest in. He's going to gather that for himself. And he's inviting us to be part of it. But he's saying, first pray that he'll take care of it, and then he'll involve us in that. One of the things that's such a blessing is to know that Christ took those steps first. He was obedient to God first. And so as Christ calls us to go or to stay or whatever he has for us, he's been the first example of obedience. One of the things that he also says here is that we're supposed to not carry a purse or a script. A script was simply a backpack with supplies. He just said, I want you to go and trust me. And the beauty of it was is that he does take care of us. One of the things in my time at camp, God led us through a time that we experienced some change in our funding. And it just, you know, through that time, our board has come on board, and Lyle served in that. And we really appreciate those people that support. Jess came to the thrift store to help out. That was interesting. No, she did a great job. We just appreciate it. But, you know, we have young people come and help us. And God, you know, we had about a $500,000 shift in income during that time. And it was like, where is this all going to come from? And somebody said to me in that process, said, Judd, some of your greatest opportunities for giving are going to come from the boys that you serve at camp. And for those of you who have been familiar with the camp setting and families that come, some families are not very capable of doing anything. Mary, you have a testimony there. You know, we've seen, and the first thing that went through my mind, you know, that's not possible. These people do not know what population of people we work with. And so my attitude needed an adjustment. And I think Jesus said that when he said, when you go into someone's house, you take what they set before you. Don't go saying, well, we got to have this and we got to have this. God had to change our attitudes at the camp and realize it's okay. Whatever is set before you, take. And God used a young man that was in our program, actually part of the Trailblazer group where Gordon was the chief at, but it was after Gordon's time. Young man went home, and I got a letter in the mail that said, you know, he wants to help the other boys, and he started getting a summer job, started mowing some lawns. Here's $12 he wants to send to help the other boys with. I still have that letter with those $12 in it. But the fact is, those $12, as that story got out, and as he did that, his family got on board, and we started a little scholarship fund. And that scholarship fund currently raises almost $11,000 a year out of that $12. And so it was like things like that began to happen, where Jesus took this scripture and began to open it up to me and say, take what's set before you and let me use it. You know, the little boy that came to him with the two loaves and fishes, let's put it that way. My mind went blank there. But anyway, he brought those loaves and fishes, and Jesus blessed them. It was a little bit. Afterward, there were 12 baskets left over. And I can truly say, as God began to do that work in our hearts at camp, and in my life particularly, to let go and let him take care of us. There were many, many times where we were so tremendously blessed by something God was doing. I remember specifically one day just experiencing that blessing. We had some funds available yet, but they were all tied up, and I would have had to maybe have some board action to release funds to operate. And we came to the end of the week, and accounts payable and everything was due, and we were $2,500 short. And so there was only three of us in the office at that time, and our secretaries were there and myself. And I just called a prayer meeting. I said, you know, the day may come where we have to ask God for every penny that we need. Let's just stop and ask God for $2,500 today. And they had already gone and checked the mail to see if the mail had gone, to see if anything was in the mail. The mail hadn't gone yet. So we sat down, we prayed and asked God for $2,500. Said, Lord, this is what we need for this week. And I went back to my office, and one of the secretaries came by. She had just come to camp. She said, you know, I really believe that God led me here because he wants to increase my faith. That's what I believe God has me here. And I just spent some time in prayer after she left the doorway there and went back to her office. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you want to do here, but whatever you want to do, I just pray that you would increase her faith today. And I realized then that sometimes God takes you and I through things. That was not a fun day for me either, okay? I have less hair now than when I started back then. And that wasn't very much back then either. But the fact is, you know, those weren't as fun days for me either. But I suddenly began to realize that sometimes God works in us because he wants to do a work in someone else, as they watch that work happen in us. And so many times, we don't like to go through those painful things. We'd rather have smooth sailing. But those walking behind us some days need to see you and I have faith in God. Well, 15 minutes later, she walked in my office with a $5,000 check that was in the mail when she went back. You know, all we had a praise meeting then, you know, hallelujah. And God doesn't always choose to answer that way. But sometimes we need to see him in such ways. And I just thank God for the opportunity he gave us to see that. But you know, that's something to rejoice in. And I'm sounding like the disciples now. They came back and said, hey, hallelujah. Did you know, Jesus, that the devils listened to us? When we said in your name, they fled, they were gone. And Jesus simply said this. He said, you know what? Don't rejoice in those things. What did he say we should rejoice in? What was it? Our names are in the book of life. Praise the Lord. That's enough. That's enough. For you and I, that's enough, that our names can be written in the book of life. And I praise God for that. You know, God does mighty miracles. And he said in those verses there, he said, I'm going to give you power over scorpions, over serpents. And I know some people still do that. They bring them to church to show that. You know, we don't have to do that. We know God gives us power. We know he's given us power. And some people say, well, you know, we live in America. We don't see many miracles anymore. I differ with that. God is working. There are miracles happening all the time. God is doing a work in this very land. And I believe he'll continue. But it's in that we're not supposed to rejoice. We are to rejoice that our name's in the book of life. And I'm thankful for that today. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you today that we can come before you and that our names can be written in the book of life. Thank you for this body of believers, the families, the children, Father. Such a blessing this morning. And I just want to bless this congregation in your name. And I pray for their future, God. I pray for a mighty work here, Lord. I believe you're doing that, and I pray that you would continue it. Thank you for your presence this morning, and we just trust you to go with us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.